This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
And welcome to What's Brewing, a show about anything and everything brewing sports. I am your freaking host, Bill Sherwin.
I think I'm addicted to wanking. I'm kind of doing it right now.
Oh, Bill.
Wow.
Bill.
You're kind of doing... Wow.
Bill.
Jake, come on, man.
I can't believe you, man.
I know.
Let's put it away.
I know. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Gee whiz.
What's up, guys? What's going on?
Nothing. Two podcasts in a week. That's awesome.
That's a lot.
This is three or four. How many were we planning to do today? Three, four, five?
At least something 10. Like that, yeah. At least 10.
Yeah, this is within a week because last time we recorded Tuesday, now it's Monday. Happy Memorial Day.
Memorial Day. Yeah, it's very nice.
Memorial Day. I love it. Please, let's keep that in the bag. All right, let's go ahead. Listen, you can go ahead and reach Mike at the What's Brewing Show. You can reach Mike again at the Big Disco. Drake at WBJake68.
I'm Drake. I got upgraded.
Jake.
See? Tip for tap.
At WBJake68 and Jamal at KingsPapa1015.
Wow.
Listen. That's right, man. Listen, you can go ahead and email the show, whatsbrewing@gmail.com. You can go ahead and support us on Patreon for simply $3 a week, a day, anything you want. $2 a month, anything. But that's patreon.com/whatsbrewingshow, Patreon. So review us if you want to. Mike, have we gotten a review in 2020?
I'm not sure. I'll check right now. But
oh man, I don't know. I say that because I was hoping it was going to be a no because no one's reviewed us lately. We need some people out
there
listening to us.
Yeah.
Reviewing
constructive compliments. Please.
Constructive compliments. I like that. Very good.
Yeah.
But go ahead and do that.
Michael Scott special, you know.
And for those who want to vent, for those who just want to or celebrate, maybe they want to celebrate the hiring of Jarman.
As we Jarmond.
No, see, I didn't say that.
Apparently
that's
it's
you.
Not.
You're appropriating.
Jarman.
It's Jarman. So either way, go ahead and call us at 805-399-4WBS.
Suck it, Reign of Troy.
Reign of Troy.
Suck it.
There you go.
They're making meth now over there.
They're making meth?
Michael Lisi sent me a picture of them with a giant bag of meth.
That's crazy. Why? Are they? Did they move to
Well, he lives in Fihonix.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It was actually pebble ice from their ice maker, but they thought, you know... Because, you know, they're rewatching Breaking Bad, and Sarah just started watching it. So, in honor of that, they sent me a picture of two giant bags of pebble ice that looked like, what was,
Blue sky
or something?
Right? Yeah, it was blue sky.
There you go.
That's really good. Well,
How nice.
They're doing well? Are they doing well?
They're doing well.
Oh, that's awesome. Listen, let's get into some UCLA. I don't know if, why don't we have Mike have a new drop? Because instead of like UCLA basketball, UCLA football, it's UCLA stuff. Why don't we have one like
what
that?
What are you talking about?
Bro-affiliated headlines. Bro.
Oh, I thought that was...
Oh, it's not in the rundown?
No, oh, yeah. No, but I was saying, like, I thought it was sort of like UCLA. I was like, oh, that's pretty funny. I took it somewhere else. All right, here we go.
You did.
All right, here we go.
You're referring to the rundown that just has headlines on it.
Yeah.
As opposed to bro-affiliated.
Oh, yeah. So here we go.
Because I was in a rush typing. So what do you want to do right now, Bill? Is this the segment you want to do? You want to do bro-affiliated headlines?
Let's do bro.
Why don't you introduce it then, dickhead?
You son of a bitch. I can put bro on there. So it doesn't matter my state right now, matter what.
Bro, it's Ron Burgundy. If it doesn't say bro, you can't say bro headline.
No, that's right, damn it.
This is perfect.
All right, let's get to bro-affiliated headlines with Mike. Bro.
Thanks, Ron. Over the weekend, UCLA got another commitment from three-star defensive end Tyler Kaine, forgive the mispronunciation if I did so, from Los Lunas, New Mexico, where, in fact, he's the number one player in that state. he just
that's cool.
Committed to UCLA, the fifth commitment of the 2021 class. UCLA, this now moves UCLA's class ranking to fifth. They actually remain fifth in the Pac-12, but they move up two notches in the nation to number 67.
Wow.
So that's pretty good.
So they're no longer 69?
Nope, not at all.
Wow, give it
a little bit of an uptick for...
That was good. Come on.
That was good. Yeah, I heard it last week when I said that to everyone on Twitter.
Oh, like, wow.
Nice. Oh. Like, got it, guys.
Never gets old, Mike.
Jeez.
I thought that was an original by you.
Hey, Lord, this show isn't about getting low-hanging fruit. I don't know what it's about.
We have commitment analysis, also reaction from Tyler about why he committed. So check that out on BruinReportOnline.com. Subscribe now if you don't already. We also have a little bit of information on the quarterback target, Miller Moss, who is down to four teams and is not exactly sure when, but he is set to commit very soon.
I have a quote for Miller.
Go ahead.
We love LA.
I love LA too. Yeah. Miller's in the UCLA is in the running for Miller along with USC, LSU, and Alabama.
He loves UCLA. He loves USC in LA, and he loves LSU in LA. Louisiana.
He loves LSU, Alabama, LA,
and then got Alabama
in
there too.
No idea what that means about
it. I don't. But this is really interesting to me right now.
What's really interesting is the fact that. Alabama, LSU, and USC have quarterbacks that should...
transfer.
No, I was going to say have their starting roles for at least in the next 2 to 3 years. UCLA probably just won with Dorian, depending on how he does. So if he doesn't pick UCLA, where he's most likely able to have...
immediate?
Not necessarily immediate, but... He would play sooner
for 21, right?
Yeah, he would play sooner than he most likely would at the other schools. So if they don't get Miller, that's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. And then they would have to try to focus their attention on other quarterbacks, which they really haven't been doing.
I would say it'd be much more depressing if they didn't get Miller if he like eliminated LSU and Alabama, right? But I mean, you can't really do like playing time aside. You know, it's if a kid's going to choose to go to LSU or Alabama, you can't really. Say that they, you know, chose them over UCLA because they probably weren't even considering UCLA at that point if they had that. You see what I'm saying,
yeah.
Mike?
Oh,
like,
yeah. Oh,
head
yeah.
Head-to-head versus the Trojans right now, you say, oh, yeah, it looks like there's a better situation at UCLA. Yeah. And you can draw a straight line for that, but whatever.
But the Trojans lose a quarterback every game, so.
Yeah. They do.
Yeah. And then somehow their fourth string manages to bring them back from the brink. So anyway. What else we got? Last week we were able to, Tracy Pearson was able to interview new athletic director, Martin German. And we have both the audio and excerpts and transcripts by yours truly on the website. So if you want to hear about, you know, what his thoughts are on fundraising, on taking on a $19 million debt, on what his relationship is with Chip Kelly, go ahead and, you know, check all of those out. We have there got to be at least 4 or 5 articles up on the site right now. What else we got?
German, this is a direct quote from the interview, isn't it?
Chip Kelly can kind of be a dick.
Didn't he say that?
I don't know. I don't think so, but I'll go back and check the transcripts.
Oh, thanks.
That one.
Get on up. I need a report.
Last week, we talked about how Chip Kelly was ranked 36th in the nation, the 36th best Power 5 coach in the nation.
According to the CBS
poll.
So CBS, right?
Yeah, CBS coaching power ranking.
Yeah. Dropping, the biggest drop in the
14 spots, yes. Yeah. 24/7 Sports. I had the writer's name here, the author here, but he basically put all the coaches in order of in regards to those rankings. Mm-hmm. Chip Kelly comes in 6th in the Pac-12, and obviously, as I said, he's 36th in the nation.
So, what 6 were ahead of him?
Well, let's start with number 1. Well, first off, none of the Pac-12 coaches made it into the top 10. In the nation.
Really?
So that's,
and why would they? So let's go. Yeah. We'll just go around the table. Mike will give a name and then he'll say he agrees, disagrees, and we'll go this way, counterclockwise.
Number 11 in the nation, number 1 in the Pac-12, Kyle Whittingham, Utah.
Yeah.
Do you agree, Mike?
I agree.
Yeah. No. Billy?
Yeah.
No.
You don't agree?
Who would you say? Who would
Chip
you
Kelly?
Say?
No, I agree he's better than Chip Kelly.
That's what we're asking, right?
No, we're just saying better or worse than Chip Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
I thought
was relative to their ranking.
At this point, yeah, I agree. Go ahead.
At number 19 in the nation, number 2 in the Pac-12, David Shaw, Stanford.
Yes.
Mikey?
Yes.
You got to say your opinion first.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Yes. Bill?
Yes.
Yes.
I think you have to.
Number 24 in the nation, seems a little odd for what he's done. Number 3 in the Pac-12, Mario Cristobal. Yes, definitely.
Better than Chip Kelly, Bill?
It's too early. Those other guys have tenure.
Yeah.
That's why I gave him a comment.
He's been doing
it
longer.
This guy hasn't done, so I'm going to go, nah.
So you're saying Kelly's resume still puts him over
Cristobal? Yes.
Damn,
Jamal.
Bill made me think.
Ah,
Now I'm thinking too. Is are we doing just the last 2 years or overall?
Yeah, if you're just doing the their 10 years of where they are.
Well, I think that's what this ranking is where they're at right now.
Well, then I would. Okay.
I think questions is right now. Would you rather have Cristobal or Kelly? Okay. Would you rather have Cristobal or Shaw? So.
No, then I'll say yeah.
Okay, if it's just like right now, Mike. Then
yeah.
Okay.
And
Jake,
I would say this one is one of those ones where I'm like, it's a tweener. It's a close call. Like you guys, I'm a close call on that. But I'll say I'll be fine because of last year's record. Sure.
Coming in at 30 in the nation, number 4 in the Pac-12, Herm Edwards, Arizona State. No. I don't know.
No.
Billy.
I'm not sold on him yet.
No,
Jamalski.
No, I think that's definitely one of those things, a carryover, and he's just had some success.
Absolutely, categorically, no way in hell. Just because, what did Herm do previously, and then what has he done so far?
Last time he coached was in a different generation.
No, we can't do that. Mike just said it has to be just now. Just looking at now at Arizona State.
No. You're judging Chip Kelly based on his resume, and I'm judging Herm on his resume. Like the reason I was saying Cristobal and Kelly is a close call is because. Cristobal's resume is like this, and Kelly's is a little bit longer, right?
Yeah.
But right now, what would you say, And then what I'm saying with Herm is he didn't do anything really impressive in the past, and he sure as hell hasn't done anything super impressive at ASU other than completely outperform everybody saying he was going to be a train wreck.
Right.
He's just not a train wreck. That's all. It's all he is. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Kelly's a train wreck right now.
Jamal said it perfectly, too. It's
Jamal, I should have stopped talking.
Yeah, he's using, another coach's players. Which were pretty decent to begin with, but let's see what happens when his system is installed. His players are in, so I don't know. That's neck and neck.
So right I think there, we'd I all think. Agree that Kelly should be ahead of Edwards at least on this list.
Yes,
so far. What's the next one?
Yeah,
the fifth one, the only other one ahead.
Number 33 in the nation, number 5, Justin Wilcox.
Whoa.
I know that's a hard one. I'm saying it because you said in the pack freaking 12. I'm right now.
Yeah.
Not before then. Then I'm going to still say.
Who's better right now, Justin Wilcox or Chip Kelly?
Right now, I'd say Justin, man. You could make an argument. You could look dead in the eye and go, okay, he's a defensive-minded coach. His defense is stout. Okay, look, and you're going to hear from the guy, the alum himself. Okay, so
his defense is good and his offense is getting better, especially once they have one consistent good quarterback.
So you have a great, way above it, not just above average, Jamal, but a real above average defense, and the offense is getting better. I say there's an argument to make for Justin, and
I'm an alum. What am I going to say? I think, but one part of it is that. Justin Wilcox, I think, has outkicked his expectations because he turned their defense around really fast. And he inherited a garbage program. And, he's getting looked at as one of the top programs in the conference now in just a few short years. So, you have to say it. He's outkicked his coverage, basically.
Yeah, to me, I think this is another one where it's like you look at the past and balance it with the current situation. And with Cristobal and with Wilcox, just based on how they're doing right now, I think you have to give the edge to them on a list like this, just because, Kelly's freaking hasn't beat a group of five opponent yet. Jesus Christ. Thanks, Mike. That was a fun exercise.
Really quickly, I just want to do these next two real quick. Just this one. Coming in at number 41 in the nation, number 7 in the Pac-12.
Clay Helton.
Who's better? I think...
Straight up trade right now. Kelly for Helton.
No.
No. I,
no.
No.
Why not, Bill?
Because those athletes are markedly better than UCLA's, and they're totally underperforming.
Well, do you think he'd be able to recruit better at UCLA than Chip could, and then do something with him?
That's weird too. Because Chip Kelly
recruit better than Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly hasn't recruited.
I think the name is recruiting is helping recruit USC too.
Their
parents.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, there's no doubt.
So. I just don't think he has much. He has better talent, guys. Let's just be real.
I'm being devil's advocate, by the way. I'm not trading either.
And I actually would take Chip over him. I really would.
Yeah.
I would.
You'd be in the same situation, I think. If Clay Helton was a UCLA coach, I think you'd be in the same situation. You'd be looking
with
at...
With lesser talented players.
Right. No, I mean, I think record-wise, you'd be in the same situation, I think, with Clay Helton.
Yeah.
I don't think his X's and O's is the reason that USC has a better record than Chip Kelly. I think it's the talent, and I think part of that comes from where he's at versus what he can do as a coach.
I mean, but that shows you the state of LA college football right now is just solidly in the mediocre pile, right?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Shows what that
exactly.
Is.
All right, cool. All right, finally, really quickly, Larry Scott went on CNN and said that practice could start in July. He also said that some stadiums might play without any fans, and some will play sparsely with fans throughout their stadiums. So that's good news, I guess, for at least having a season.
And that's based on what? Based on like the rules that each state establishes? Nothing that the that's not something Pac-12
No. But that's the thing. The Pac-12, all the coaches have been in contact with each other, updating each other on what's happening. With obviously, each, as we talked about last week, each camp is going to decide how their football programs are going to proceed. So it just depends on the school itself, where the Pac-12 is, and obviously where state, county, federal regulations, you know, have any impact on what's going to happen with all these schedules in the fast approaching 2020 season. So
very good. So are those your Gojo? Are those your affiliate headlines?
With Mike? Oh, that is it, Jake. That is it.
That is it. That's signs for divorce, brother.
All right, good stuff, Mikey. Now I want to get into a couple hypotheticals regarding, you know, recent local news about, you know, the COVID and the UCLA and the college football and the whatnot, the Pac-12 and all that. So I have a few scenarios for you, and I want to get your thoughts. Number one scenario, we get to, there is a 2020 college football season, but in the season, we are given a scenario in which UCLA and other Pac-12 teams will be playing in front of distanced crowds, meaning that, you know, someone's sitting in every sixth seat, but they actually are selling tickets, and there is going to be at the very least a small crowd in whatever venue it is, right? So in that scenario, does it not become an actual advantage for UCLA, and you could even make the argument for USC as well, in that sort of situation, considering two facts? Number one, UCLA and USC, and maybe Washington too, are the teams that play in these giant cavernous structures now. So number one, even when they are at a two-thirds capacity and under normal circumstances, it still seems empty, right? So, you know, make your joke about UCLA playing in front of an empty stadium right now, right? So they've been doing that recently, right? So in a socially distanced Rose Bowl, UCLA doesn't actually lose anything compared to where they were at last year or really the year before. Does that make sense to you guys? Whereas you go up and down the Pac-12 trail, Oregon in a going to on the Oregon road trip, which they don't have to this year, but if they had to, or going to Utah, or going to, you know, where even Corvallis, those are stadiums that are constantly packed and lots of noise, and there's a definitive home field advantage. So, long story short, does UCLA actually benefit from a social distance crowd in that they don't lose that much, but other teams do as far as home field advantage? What do you guys think? Mikey, what do you think?
I actually thought, I've thought about this before. I mean, UCLA had a record low crowd, two of them, I think, last season that spanned
as bad as ever
60,
been.
70 years. Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, you go to the games and there's space. There is plenty of space. You know, last season, if people were going to socially distance,
it already happened last
season. It pretty much. UCLA.
But you know, Nostradamus is at UCLA.
UCLA has set the master plan for social distancing. And yeah, you're right, Jake. You insert joke here. But I mean, it's just kind of a joke. About where attendance is, where UCLA has been performing. You know, obviously only seven games in the last 2 years. That's not going to bring the people to the crowds. So funny enough, I was thinking, you know, this could be an advantage for UCLA. One, because other teams coming to play UCLA probably won't be used to that, you know. But when UCLA, as you said, going on the road to these schools that are loud, they're packed, they have a ton of fans. It playing another team in an actual game that counts would probably feel more like a practice, and that I think is going to be hard for some teams to get ready for.
Well, I thought about it in this way, Jake. More of an advantage for, say, like Cal, because their hardest games are always Washington or Oregon. I don't remember which one. I believe this year they don't have to go on the road of Washington, but they do have to go on the road with Oregon. I thought to myself, well, that's an advantage because they don't have to worry about the crowd noise as much or getting rattled by that. And since Cal has also struggled filling their stadium, they'd kind of be used to it. You know, not to say that Memorial Stadium isn't—it's not a tomb. It's not—it's just not the type of rowdy. It's an older stadium, so it doesn't have any of those acoustics that some of the newer stadiums have.
Like Oregon and Washington.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, I thought of that in my head where, hey, it could be an advantage where they can go into these places. Or like now, you know, we might discuss later, if the schedule means that they have to play Utah in Utah, there's nothing else to do in Provo. Everybody goes through those games. A team might have an advantage or won't be at a disadvantage worrying about the crowd noise or going into a hostile environment because of the situation that we're in now with social distancing.
Yeah, Bill, what do you think?
I let's just sum it up. What Mike said about the horribleness of UCLA attendance and what Jamal said about the sound, it's a complete no-brainer yes. For that, it's going to be a benefit to UCLA that because of the social distancing, there won't be that effect of the crowd noise and everything else. There won't be that intimidation factor. The music won't be there. There won't be Tommy Trojan stabbing anything. You know, it's all the pomp and circumstance is gone. And so some pomp and circumstance is huge for some schools, and it can be intimidating. So there you go.
You know, and the other thing to think about is that when you talk about Oregon or Utah, you know, or Utah, let's take them for example, their home stadium holds about 46,000, you know, a little under 46,000. And so if there's a mandated, you know, and by the way, it might not be Pac-12, it might just be state. But I mean, I could see a situation where the Pac-12, whatever it is going to be mandated. But let's say they say, oh, you could only be at 1/4 capacity.
Yeah.
Well, that means that you know that there'd be 46,000 Utes there if there could be, but in that regard, we'll know it's going to get dropped all the way down to what, like 13,000 at that point. I think I did the math right on that, something like that, right? And for UCLA, though, you know, they play in a 90,000 seat stadium, and you drop that down, and their max capacity is still in the 20-something thousands, right? Yeah. And whereas, yeah, they're at a record low attendance, they're still 20,000 diehardish UCLA fans in the LA area that would buy those tickets. You know why? Because they were there last year when they were as sucky as they could be, right? So in that regard, just the crowd is going to be bigger still for a UCLA game. Whereas before it would be smaller, you know, which is kind of a weird thing to think about.
Unless there's some sort of rules about mandating everyone's got the same crowd or whatever.
Yeah, and I don't know how they could do that because but it is a weird kind of bizarro world. Okay, very good.
And I don't know if you want to go down this path, but please. You know, once they start to decide limits, start mandating a certain attendance numbers for each section or however they're going to do it, they also have to figure out who's going to be able to go to those games. Obviously,
what about Mike?
I'm in. Obviously, you know, season ticket holders, they're most likely going to be given priority.
This is the beauty of it, though. This is the beauty of it. This is going to be a controversy for every team in the Pac-12 except UCLA. That's what I'm saying. Their capacity is going to be so big in the Rose Bowl, but so that way when they slice it down, right now UCLA cannot sell enough season tickets right now, and mm-hmm. That's not going to change until either Kelly has a big season or they get rid of Kelly, right? I don't care what Jermon does. It's not going to change. So they could still sell just as many season tickets in a quarter capacity Rose Bowl as they are right now. And so it doesn't become a big controversy. There's not a bunch of UCLA fans going, oh my gosh, I can't get my seat. They might be sitting at it like I'm probably gonna be sitting in the end zone now at this point if I buy season tickets again, just because of where I am on the totem pole, which, you know, I disagree with. I've been a season ticket for so long. But you know what I mean? Like, I'll be sitting in worse seats, but I'll still be able to get a seat if I want to go. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So there's no controversy for us, but that's a big controversy in Oregon. Their fans are in an uproar because they can't go see the Ducks, but their buddy can. You know, that's something where it's like, yeah, once again, we kind of just like,
skate by
is a good word.
That is one thing we don't have to worry about.
yeah. Like much of Bill's life, we just skate by.
Oh, I wish. Jake. I wish I could say that.
So scenario.
Skate by. Yeah,
okay, snowboard by, you know, whatever.
No, Bill lives on hookups, not the skate by. I agree. He's a hardworking man over there. Scenario number two. Let's say there are no crowds. Let's say that they play, that we're playing in front of nobody. Okay? Now, in that scenario, what do you think, UCLA? Shouldn't you just play at Drake Stadium at that point? Drake Stadium versus the Rose Bowl, pros and cons. What do you think, Bill?
I always say you might as well play at the Rose Bowl only because of the contract that we already have with them. I'm sure there's something baked in the contract. No.
In a world
where there's a pandemic.
What the hell?
No, I'm saying take the
reality
part
of it?
Not the reality, but let's say the
Rose Bowl moves this year to the end of their contract. Let's say they're allowed to
Pasadena,
do what they want.
Pasadena says no, we don't want.
I was just going off of the. Okay, all right. Okay, the answer is
contracts aren't there. Should you play Drake or should you play the Rose Bowl?
Drake. Why? Drake could be fun. It's the
let's say coronavirus turns into murder bats and people are forced.
What do we need in 2020?
Pasadena's level
murder hornets. Yeah.
You know, I would think that's an advantage because now you're telling people you got to come to us.
No, you're gonna get well.
Yeah, now you got to get people. No. You know, you got to come to us. Why should we? We don't need to drive all the way out to the Rose Bowl. You know, if there are no fans there, there's no point.
The only
in
thing
the Rose Bowl,
I right? would see yeah. is that they, you know, I mean UCLA. Obviously, they have to walk what is that 200, 300 feet from Wasserman to Drake Stadium. But are there locker rooms?
I guarantee you
they have locker
there
rooms
are
there.
Some sort of
it's on the top
facilities.
Floor, Mike.
I mean, just look at this. Look at it this way.
But to hold an entire
I've seen it's pretty big. It's pretty big.
I guarantee you because I mean just look at it this way. Like on the high school
so
level,
you're just saying,
when I was on the crew team guys, I
or on the National Public Safety Football League level, right? The visitors always in where the girls' locker room. That's how the standard practice for high school is, but. UCLA's probably got 70 different lockers available that they could stuff.
So you're just saying.
Whether it's the tennis
why
center.
Why not move this to Drake? To Drake?
Yes. I mean, why wouldn't you?
What's the incentive? Yeah, I agree with Jake.
Because number one, you completely have a better sight line probably than anybody else because you only have half a stands. Then you can shoot across, and it looks like you're playing in front of that UCLA backdrop. We got Kirkhoff in the background.
Yeah. You know, like, Reber.
But I mean,
going that way from where the media is, you'll have Royce in the background.
Yeah, Royce,
Powell Library.
Yeah, Powell, yeah. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
It
would
be nice.
That would be cool.
It would be good, but they're not going to do it, but that'd be cool. I like
that. I think that's what they should do. I definitely think they should. Okay. Scenario number three.
We should have set this up for that.
I know.
Scenario 3.
You just did. Thank you very much. Do it again.
Trace.
Trace.
Scenario three.
Trace. I'm kind of liking this, but Bill, are you getting freaked out? Are you okay? You holding it down?
I thought it was good. Trace.
You're doing good.
Someone's here. So anyway.
Boys!
Scenario three.
So they've been batting around Pac-12 schedules, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I think everybody at this table would prefer that UCLA just plays the schedule that is on the original slate right now.
Yes, please.
But their easiest... Bill, wait. Just wait, Bill. It's the easiest schedule they've had in years. And wouldn't it just be as Chip Kelly and UCLA as possible if the one time they finally get a schedule break, they are not able to take advantage of it? But what's been batted around is an all Pac-12 round robin schedule, which would be 11 games.
Yeah.
So you drop the three non-cons off there. You'd add Oregon and Washington, and Bob's your uncle. There you go. Yeah. Now, in a situation like that, first of all, I want you to answer two questions. Try to keep up. Number one is, what schedule or what record were you predicting, not predicting, what schedule were you going to take as acceptable as a finishing record with the current schedule that they have? You know, 6 wins, 7 wins, 8 wins, whatever. And then if it went to a round robin Pac-12, 11 game schedule, how far down would you adjust that?
Okay, here we go. Can I answer?
Bill, I think you should because I don't know if you can make it past the other two's answers.
I say... For the original schedule, I would say 8 wins is acceptable. 8 or over.
Bill, I'm right there with you, man. 8 is the only thing that's acceptable.
Same.
Okay, so
thank you. We're all agreed.
Yeah.
Fucking Mike. Yeah. Okay, agreed.
And then for the
What's Wrong show is on record. 8 games are bust. Yeah. This is just like Jim Moore's final year. We're not taking this bullshit where you have your mulligan year with your Kenny Polamalu and your Josh Rosen and all that crap. Okay, I'm sorry, Bill.
No.
You. And then, 8 wins.
And then for the round robin, I'd say 6. You got to take 2 off.
So it'd be 6-5?
I'd say 6-5 for the
round.
So you're
just saying like they just automatically just concede that you're going to lose to Washington, Oregon and go from there. And that's basically what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Well, my
that's a valid opinion. Jamal, though.
Based on my expectations, so I'm saying they should have won 8. Now if you're telling me it's round robin, you got to take away 3. Now they're back to 5-6.
Yeah,
now they're back 5-6.
So Bill's actually saying they're going to win a Pac-12 game they wouldn't normally win. Or he wasn't particularly – he thought they were going to lose at a Y or something. So you don't know what he's saying.
Right.
Bill's saying they would have gone 2-1 in the non-crime.
I'm saying –
I was saying 3-0. They had to go 3-0.
They had to go 3-0.
3-0.
Okay, so then you think they –
That's a part of the 8 is, the first 3.
Okay, so then you're saying that they're going to
– 5 wins in the Pac-12.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was.
But right? at 11, I mean, but with an 11 game schedule, you're saying 5 wins in the Pac-12.
I'm saying 6. I said they led.
I know. So now you've confused me. Now, because now explain yourself.
No, no, guys. If it's correct me if I'm wrong, the round robin's only just the Pac-12.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's 11
so
games.
So I'm saying they're going to win 6 of those games. I'm saying,
but in the normal schedule,
yes,
they're going to win.
Yeah, because I still.
You thought they were going to go 2. You thought they were going to go 2-1 in non-conference.
So you're not just subtracting and adding because of the
no.
You're just looking at the scenarios.
I see
of
what you're saying. I see what you're saying. There's one less game in the 8 win than I said in the other one. Yeah. Look, can I leave some up to chance and sort of like
yeah, that's fine.
That's, you know. Let's say that one game off. It's not like 2 or 3. That one game is just that chance.
One thing I think of is Bill the Eternal Optimist. I like it. Okay, yeah. Mikey, what do you think?
I mean, obviously. That's going to be the painful thing is you lose the non-conference games. You lose their 3 easiest games. So right there, for me, they're down. I mean, let's say I would estimate 7-6 record. So that bumps them down to 4-6. And then you add Oregon and Washington, which would at that point be the toughest games on the schedule, or at least 2 of the toughest, and probably losses. So that would probably end up 4-7, whatever it is. Yeah, yeah. I think at 11, if they do go to an 11 game schedule, that's curtains for Chip Kelly. I mean, maybe not that far,
no,
but
I think
that would really.
No way. He has a built-in excuse. Right? He's like, I mean, we're just, you know, this was hard. This was a tough year.
Yeah, but remember, he's got a new AD.
Yeah.
And he's going to say, and, you know, that's what's going to happen.
The same Boston College. I know he fired that other guy after 6-6.
He's like, I need my own guy.
Well, I think that's going to. I don't think that's going to be.
There's no money.
I don't think that's going to be enough to terminate him
because
of that. Although it might.
If he only
wins
Plaschke
4
already
games.
Wrote the column. It's only $9 million, he said.
If he fires him now?
It's the buyout's $90 million. Not if he fires him now, but if he fires him, you know.
At the end of the season.
At the end of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's the end of the season. So it's only two years off the contract. That would do it.
You think he could get people to buy, swallow $9 million?
Yes. If there's no progress and they only win 4
season,
games, yes.
It's only 4, yes.
I think another catastrophic season, and by the way, you can't afford not to, because at that point it's going to not only will Corona turn, you know, you're already your program is at its lowest point in
ever
60, 70 years,
lower than what it was this year.
Yeah,
yeah, and then now, I mean, you have to, because you can't possibly have another year with no freaking optimism. And at that point, if they go 3-4, you know, 3-4 wins, they're, I mean, think about how much optimism we have now. Add another season onto that. At the same rate.
And at that point, let's say they do only win 4 games and lose 7. There's clearly not going to be much confidence in the program going forward.
Yeah, I mean,
with Kelly doing anything to improve.
They had a little bump
in
recruiting this year, but that'll all fly away, you know.
If he doesn't do well.
Yeah,
okay. Exactly. Well, let's see.
Just saying. All right. I mean, really, that's, you know, so interesting stuff going on. Like, you know, there's nothing set in stone. It's all speculation at this point, but I mean, we'll have to see where we go from here. Now, Mikey, you had one other thing you wanted to talk about college basketball wise. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, obviously college basketball has a little bit of a buffer compared to college football. Right now with things starting to open, It looks like, let's say everything starts to progress even more, everything is good, and we do have a college football season set for, you know, whatever, late August, early September. But if something goes wrong, road bump here, spikes here, kids in the Ozarks making out and doing stuff and catching COVID-15 with their frat mates.
There you go.
A little bit different. Did you see that pool? That looked gross. I mean, not because of COVID-15. They just look like SED stew.
Like Havasu Midwest.
Exactly.
Everybody Havasu.
But I mean, stuff like that. There are still, having a college football season is still kind of on thin ice. Nobody knows exactly what's going to happen, and we have to wait for it. College basketball has a little bit of a buffer. Now, do you think, and you know, for me, you know, I'm bringing this to you just because I think that college basketball could still survive if maybe they cut off all the non-conference games. It would suck to not have any warm-up games, exhibition games, preseason tournaments. But do you think just having a conference season, you know, we were just talking about football, just having conference season, do you think it's enough conference games? And especially since the Pac-12 is going to 20 games, is that enough? Would that satisfy you? And would that be enough for a college basketball season? UCLA, Pac-12, Cal, so on and so forth?
Yes.
I don't understand. You know, all the other stuff is just filler. I mean, I understand part of it is smaller schools need to get some money by playing the bigger schools. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the college football, I mean, college basketball having so many games, especially when there is a tournament involved. Mm-hmm. I mean, after six games, I'm comfortable saying if you have a 20-game conference schedule and you
which would be their season, quote unquote,
right? Yeah. And then you have to pay a tournament, a conference tournament. Mm-hmm. So that's another four games or three games, depending if you're the
one
best.
To four game, yeah,
right. And then you still have another, you still have to play another and win another six games just to be the NCAA champions. It's enough.
Yeah.
The off season, the pre-conference with all these tournaments that have popped out, it's just too much to me. It's too much filler. It's too much.
Too much Dick Vitale.
Too much Dick Vitale. I understand why they do it. I'm not naive. I understand it's money for smaller schools. It's money for these cable companies that pay for to broadcast these pre conference tournaments and stuff like that, like in Hawaii and New York. But it's just too much. I think basketball is in a better position to lower how many games they play, college basketball, than if you were in a scenario with college football, just mm-hmm. because just the way it all ends. There's so many games where you can determine who's the best team.
Yeah,
you don't need to play out of conference games.
Thoughts, Bill?
No big thing. I mean,
let me ask you this. Do you need to see UCLA lose to Cal State Fullerton?
No, I don't. So, taking
well, that's not going to happen next non-conference
taking
season.
Taking out the preseason is not a...
Not as big of a big deal.
Not of a big deal for me. I like the Pac-12 conference in terms of basketball. Mm-hmm. I think it's fun. It's fun to see, and it wasn't bad last year. I enjoyed it. And it was sad that it got stopped right before the actual conference tournament.
Yeah.
But no, I'm okay with that. I think it makes it more meaningful, right?
Especially after this last year. That's what I was thinking. Especially since they didn't have a big dance this year, they're gonna do everything they can to have
get there. It's just gonna be that much more meaningful.
Yeah. So. I mean, I think that, you know, if you're in a world where you have to give up one or the other, because I mean, certainly there are times when UCLA's had some pretty cool games in its non-con schedule, mm-hmm. right? But it's usually one or two out of 12,
and they haven't done that well against them lately.
Lately,
we've all enjoyed the UCLA Kentucky games. You know,
everybody loves the intersectional stuff, right?
Yes.
But with that being said, if you're telling me that, oh, you know, you play the conference schedule and the conference tournament, and you're going to get an NCAA tournament, that's plenty, and I think that's just fine. So I think we're all there, right?
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that they'll give up really is playing Kentucky at the CBS Sports Class. I think they're playing Kentucky in New York.
Sorry, got that.
They have what tournament are they at? I think they're in the Wooden Classic.
The Wooden. They're always in the Wooden.
They're Wooden.
Sorry, got
no, no. They're not always in the Wooden, but well, I think this year they're in the Wooden. And there's another key matchup, which I can't remember, but you know, obviously,
and I'm sure the Godfather was gone. Sorry,
yeah,
Godfather.
Exactly. So, thanks for the scenarios, Jake.
Yeah, and my pleasure. Now, Bill, what time is it?
It's my favorite part of the show.
What's brewing with you?
You ask me.
What's brewing with me?
Yeah.
What's brewing with you? What's brewing with me? What's brewing with
you?
Bill.
Yes.
What's brewing with you, buddy?
Oh, wow. Oh, you're going to ask me first. Usually I get to ask other people.
Sure you make it to the end.
It was very nice. Very nice weekend.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was a nice weekend full of drinks, good food, good friends. It was fun.
I actually saw your wife for the first time in a long time.
In a long time. Yeah. She got her nails done, guys.
Same.
She came over.
She got her nails done.
She's looking good.
She actually went to a salon. She went out to the Joe Public, and it was great. So I had a good time. Hung out with the Merrifields for 2 days in a row.
2 days in a row. That's unprecedented in recent history.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of
some might say too much.
Yeah. So I had a good time.
Yeah, he's here for a third day in a row.
Yeah. The drinks were flowing. Jake is officially a TJF mixologist. He should get the button. So it was good to have some good drinks. So that's what
needs more flair on my uniform.
Good weekend full of a lot of movies. And I'll talk about those movies later off camera. No, there's one called Mute on Netflix. We'll talk about it later. But Mike, what is brewing with you?
Well, I have to credit Sam Connan from the Daily Bruin for this. He put out on Twitter a simulation of UCLA's season with NCAA football,
nice.
EA Sports. And I believe his final record was 8-5, which is promising. But just the detail that he went into to listing the teams, I just went back and started playing. I must have played at least 7-8 games this Memorial Day weekend, NCAA football. I was just in it. I was on top of my recruiting. You know, before it's like I play the game. I let defense do whatever they want. And I'll play the offense and I let the computer do recruiting. No, I'm on top of it. I got my quarterback for the future. I got the two linebackers that I wanted in recruiting.
You brought up some good memories, though, Mike.
Oh, dude, so good.
You really did.
Actually trying to strategize a little bit with a video game, and then I end up just going, you know what? My defense can't stop it. Screw it. I'm just going goal line defense, 5-3-3 all the time.
Good job, Mike.
Sounds like Bill.
It's a great great reference in my KE.
But no, I was just really obsessed with football. That and I was watching the Washington State game. UCLA's Washington State game came up on the Pac-12 Network, and that was a great game, and I say that is definitely the greatest comeback game in UCLA football history. I'm saying it now because I'm right.
It's pretty crazy freaking game.
Yeah, Jamal, what's going on with you?
I will continue my message as long as you guys can hear me about just being safe out there, and because I'm in the health field and we're seeing it. I'm constantly about what's going on in the situation. So just please continue to be safe and healthy out there. So, in having to watch stuff, my wife recommended this movie. It was kind of weird and freaky, but it's called Hotel Artemis. It's
because it has your name in it. Wow. And mixed in there.
Sort of. Well, no.
What is it? Is that a?
It's a movie.
Is it kind of like slapstick action?
It's a futuristic. It's a dystopian movie.
That sounds familiar.
So the lineup was Jodie Foster, Sterling K. Brown from This Is Us.
Yeah.
Sophia Boutella, who if you know her from Kingsman and like some other movies. Jeff Goldblum, Jenny Slate, Charlie Day, Dave Bautista.
Crazy cast.
Yeah, Zachary
Charlie
Quinto.
Day, nice.
So this movie takes place in a dystopian L.A. in the future. In the middle of a riot. It's basically a hotel that's been set up for criminals to be turned into a hospital.
Marge recommended this to you?
Marge recommended.
So she saw it first and then said, you gotta watch this?
No, a friend of hers saw it and recommended that we watch it. Gotcha. So we watched it.
Yeah. Is that on Netflix?
It's on.
I think it is,
or it's either on that or on Amazon Prime. I can't remember which one we watched it on. And it's an interesting plot. Basically, it's a dystopian future. This hotel's been converted into a hospital for criminals that Jodie Foster runs, and then there's this big riot.
It's a 2018, by the way.
Right, and this is a recent movie. It didn't do well at all. A $15 million budget only made $13 million in the box office, but it's interesting. I would trust me, it's an interesting watch. I thought that Jodie Foster by far was the best actress in the movie, the best part in the movie. She's playing the doctor that's running the place, and it's very interesting. I would recommend it. It's just one of those things that friend recommended. We watched it, but I had never heard of it, and I couldn't believe the lineup and the people. Every time somebody popped up, I was like, "Oh my god, this person's in it."
That's pretty cool.
So that's what I would recommend watching that. If you get a chance.
Very nice. Yeah, I've seen it on the lineup there, and I haven't pulled the trigger on it right now.
Just watch it.
No, I will. No, good.
Done. Jake, what's wrong with you?
You know what, guys? I started a book today that wonderful so far, but I'm only a quarter way into it, so I'll have to give you a report afterwards. But it's Albert Camus, and it's The Plague. And
the one that's been very popular lately. The book that's been.
I picked it up because I had read some Camus before and I loved it.
You picked it up? Are you audiobook or actual physical book?
I'm audiobooking it, but I bought the Kindle copy as well. And very interesting. The setting is bubonic plague in the early 20th century, mid 20th century. But there's things that apply and things that don't apply at all, and it's interesting to kind of like crush that up. So, and by the way. Wildly accessible book. It's just already I'm only 50 pages into it, and it's just entertaining and weird. So anyways, enough of me. So all right, Bill, then what
Let's
do we say
do it.
Thank you guys for listening, and go Bruins.
Good evening.
Try us tomorrow, same bat time, same bat channel.
It's gotta be in or out, Mom. In or out. Well, I need the door closed.
Thank you for your cooperation.
Size doesn't necessarily matter if you want it hard enough.
Dude, brah, we place a ball on the West Coast.
The final word is boob.